been so far. We're up in verse number 18, I believe. Is that where we are? 218? All right. Do you have any questions so far? I'm going to ask you some questions. Sharon, and how has God revealed himself to man?
God has revealed himself to man.
Wait, just one at a time.
Okay. Just one?
Just one at a time.
In nature.
In nature. So we see God in nature, don't we? And you can see a lot of it right here. You can see the Anastasia. What's the Anastasia? The resurrection. You can see out there. You remember when Brother Hubbard came and preached for us and preaching the book of Revelation, and he was going through there and he's talking about the resurrection, revelation. He said, Brother James, what's that name in Greek for resurrection? And I said, Anastasia. And he said, that's right. I just check and see if you knew it. The resurrection, that means to stand again. And we see that out here in this dead grass was dead for just a few weeks ago, wasn't it? And now it's standing back up. We see God in nature. And it's what amazing. Is it? What?
It's amazing how I've been watching a lot of that. Kind of like National Geographic.
Yes.
It's amazing how the complexity of nature, underwater, above water, plants, mm-hmm. bugs, birds, everything, how complicated it is, and that every little thing has a purpose, what it does and what it doesn't do, you mm-hmm. know, and when it dies. It's just amazing. And I think about only God can create something like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, in just perfect unison with each other.
What kind of dogs do we have on the earth, on the epi, upon the earth, epi taste gates, mm-hmm. upon the earth? What kind of dogs do we have?
Now, domesticated.
Domesticated dogs, wolves, all this kind of stuff. And they bark, don't they? And they howl, and they wolf and all that. What kind of dogs do we have in the ocean?
Oh, that's dead on.
Seals.
Seals.
That's right.
Seals. We have birds that fly in the air, and we have birds that fly underwater. Do we not? What kind of birds fly underwater?
Hmm.
What?
The ones that dive in the ocean?
No. What kind of birds fly under the water? What are birds under the water? What are birds under the water?
Stingrays.
Manta rays. Stingrays. They're birds.
They do have, resemble like
they,
wings.
Yeah, they have wings.
Right.
And, of course, we have flying fish that go both ways. You know, they jump from wave to wave sometimes. The flying fish out there by Catalina, which I've never actually seen, but I've heard about them, and I've seen them on television things. And we have ichthyomies above the earth, don't they? Epitaskase. Ichthyomies. What's an ichthyomy, Marilyn?
A spider.
Spider. Spiders. Ichthyomies, spiders. And we have ichthyomies under water. What are the ichthyomies underwater? Crabs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, they look like spiders.
Yeah. We have cockroaches up here, and we have shrimp. And they're below the water. We see all of this, and we look back, and we just are amazed at how God talks to us through his nature. All of that has got a creator, people.
Right.
Unless you're a village idiot.
Right.
I mean, it had a creator behind all of it. If you can just see that creator, unless you're trying to get rid of him in some way. Number two, how does God reveal himself?
Well, he walked when he came down to the earth.
How does he reveal himself?
Through man? No.
Well, how does he reveal himself?
Suffering?
What? No, not yet.
Intuition?
Intuition. God, every man is born with a knowledge of God in him. He has to play it down or do away with it. This is intuition. Number three now, Marilyn. We're ready for that one. Specific revelation, and that is what? Through prophets and the Word of God. All right? Now, mankind is created from without, isn't he? He is externally created from out. God did not create himself, and he is the origin of all life and everything, and he ever exists without any He doesn't answer to anything. Mankind came from a source. God does not come from a source. Angels came from a source. Spirits come from a source. Do they not? We see this. Externally, man answers to something. Externally, God answers to nothing. Nothing caused him. People will say, and I'm repeating a little bit from what I said yesterday, maybe it was, yesterday, sometimes, that I taught a class on systematic theology. My days have run in together, so I don't know one day from the next. But we see that God and man, God made man in his image, didn't he? But what put God in that image?
Well, he never had a beginning.
No, he has no beginning. He is the eternal God. He inhabits eternity. He inhabits eternity. So we see all of this. And now as we study the book of Genesis from the original text, we see secrets there. And we see the secrets in creation. We see the secrets that all animals know there is a God. Whoa. I just said something different than what most people would say. All animals know there is a God. You don't have any atheist dogs. No. You know that there were no Indians in this country that were atheists? That they all believed in a creator? All of them did? Even though maybe they didn't believe in him exactly by evidence that we have. What we have, the what? By specific revelation. Specific revelation. And how did God reach us with specific revelation? How? How did he reach us with this specific revelation?
Through the Holy Spirit.
How did he reach us with this specific revelation? Brother Ray, you know. Sharon.
We have the Bible.
But how did we get it?
God gave it to us.
How did he give it to us?
He inspired people,
prophets, to write it down. Okay? He inspired the prophets to write it down. And so we have the Word of God. And we know who many of these prophets were. We know who Adam was, don't we? We know who Enoch was. We know who Seth was. We know who Noah was. We know who Methuselah was. We know who Moses was, Moshe. We see all of these different prophets of God. These are prophets of God. Moses wrote five books, did he not? Can any of you name those five books?
No, Genesis.
Genesis?
Exodus?
Numbers and Deuteronomy. You did this a long time ago, New Hope.
Well, all I remember is the first five books.
Okay, and that's called what? The Pentateuch, the five books. We have the five books of Moses. Now, some people, when Moses penned the last chapter, he said that it says there that Moses was the most humble man and that God closed his eyes, that he took his life, you know, when he was so many years old, 120 years old, that he was... He had not degenerated in any way. He could see just as well as he was when he was young. Could climb mountains, and he did not. He was not stooped, and he was not degenerated in any way. And people say, "Well, somebody else had to write that. Moses couldn't have written that about himself." I have no problem with Moses writing that about himself. I believe God can reveal to Moses how he's going to die. If he could reveal Cyrus the Great through Daniel's writings, then why can't we believe that God revealed to Moses how he was going to die? Is the book inspired from chapter 1 to the last chapter in it? Then why don't we accept that as is? We can accept that as is. There's no problem with that at all. Revelation. God revealed. There's one book in the Bible called Revelation, isn't there? What does Revelation mean? to uncover. Apocalypse. Apocalypse. Calypse means to, that's what we get our word cryptic from, cryptic, hidden. It means to take off the cover, uncover it, uncover the thing. Well, let's go back to the tree of death. The tree of death. We have the tree of life and we have the tree of death, don't we? What's the tree of death, Jared? What's the tree of death? Jared, what's the tree of death? Where's the tree of death in the Bible, Marilyn?
Where is it?
Yeah, where is it?
In the middle of the garden. Somewhere.
In the middle of the garden. What was it called?
The tree of knowledge.
The tree of knowledge of good and evil, and that's the tree of death. Is it not, or is it, or is it not?
Spiritual death, right? I mean,
that's right.
You can die physically.
The tree of death.
Right.
It was the tree of death. We have the tree of life, and we have the tree of death. If they had eaten of the tree of life, they would have lived forever. When they ate of the tree of death, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they began the process of dying.
Mm-hmm.
Dying. Eumets is what it says there. Eumets. Everybody say this with me. Eumets. Eumets. Ha da'ath. Tov. Vara. Lo. Tokal. Memenu. Ki. Biyom. Achalikya. Memenu. Mioth. Tamut. And from the tree, the knowing, look at that word, eumets, there. Now, if you've got the Hebrew in front of you there, you'll look at this. You on the front of it, it's like this, okay? And that's and. That's a conjunction, page 253, Brown Driver B. And then we have this word. And it comes from this. It's a shortened form of it. Hebrew just gets rid of that. Now, on the prefix of this word here, we have and from. Okay? And from. And then it says etz. Etz. This etz here. This etz. Etz. And from tree. Tree. I'm on number 17.
Oh, that's why.
Okay. Number 17. We're going to go back and look at this a little better. Okay. And from Hadath. Ha, on the front of that is the definite article. Hadath, there, is knowing. Knowing. Yud. Tov is good. Good. And in this tree was the knowledge of good. Good. How good God is. In systematic theology, I'm trying to show people how big God is. How big God is. And how good He is. And how powerful He is. And how loving He is. And how kind He is. But yet how just He is. He's all of these things. Now, knowing good. That's the first thing. When they ate of this tree of death and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they saw how great God was in every way. They knew it. How many ever heard any of a preacher preach on that?
Never.
Never. This here is a word for spiritual good. If you translate it in the Greek, it would be agathos. 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 We're going to put it in a adverb form. We can go like this. Also, omicron sigma on the end of it.
I have a question.
Yes.
How do they know that God was great after they ate the tree, then rather than before? Because they're in the garden, they're in this creation.
Yeah.
God created them.
And God's been teaching them. God's been teaching them, haven't they? And Jesus, in His pre-incarnate form, was walking with them, wasn't He? Was
before
he not,
they ate
before they ate of the tree of God, okay. A tree of knowledge of good and evil. But all of a sudden now, when they eat of this, They have a ravenous appetite, and they eat and they eat and eat until as far as I can see, it's gone. The tree's gone. They just kept on eating. It's like eating See's candy. And you've got an empty stomach, and you get 5 pounds. Marilyn told me one time, they could get every cow in Bakersfield fat for the market in just 3 pounds of See's candy. They could gain 100 pounds. But this 3 pounds of See's candy with a heart, you know, like this. But this tree of the knowing of good, the knowing how great God is, they saw how big he was and how great he was now. And what did it do? It scared them into terror because they knew how great he was now. They knew how great he was. But they knew how bad they were.
Well, that's interesting.
See, they did not know how bad they were before because they hadn't become bad. Well, yet.
But yet, on the flip side, they also had the knowledge of good.
It was a continuous revelation of good.
Right.
But now, all of a sudden, they see how great God is and how much he had given them and how what they had lost. Mm-hmm. What do you think, people in hell, what is going to be one of the worst miseries there? I didn't have to be here. Mm-hmm.
That's what they say now.
Yeah. I didn't have to be here after it happens. I didn't have. Will every atheist believe in God that one moment after he dies, 1 second after he dies? Absolutely. There will be no atheist in the afterworld. None. No atheist in the afterworld. But this tree of knowledge of what? Good.
And evil.
And evil. They had the knowledge of how great God was. Scared them to death, Brother Ray.
When I just understood what you just said, you said two things. One of them, when their eyes were open, what they come to know how great God was going to be in time a progressive understanding of
yes.
how great he was. But
yes.
all of a sudden
it's revealed instantly.
It all flushed into him faster than they expected. And it was
kaboom!
That makes sense.
Kaboom! We have in the Bible a progressive revelation.
Right.
But in this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we have an immediate. When I was poisoned intentionally with arsenic and mercury, there's a gradual poisoning of arsenic and mercury. If you eat something that's not good for you, if you live in some place where it's not good for you. But I had acute poisoning. It happened suddenly. My radiator was sprayed with garlic oil that you put on bait. It was shook up. Now I know what happened. It was shook up with mercury and arsenic in it, and they sprayed it on my radiator. You could see where it was sprayed on the radiator. I drove that thing for about 80 or 100 miles, breathing this. I was the only one in the motorhome, and I drove it, and when I got home, I was sick. The smell was terrible. I thought somebody had pulled a prank. I didn't know it was poison. I started shaking. My heart was all out of rhythm and everything. My eyesight was going away. My pupils would not open and close anymore. This was acute poisoning. And finally, when they found out about it and they studied it, I had acute poisoning. It was not gradual. It was acute poisoning. It wasn't something that I did to myself by eating. You can eat too much tuna. You can eat a lot of lobster. You can get poisoning with arsenic and mercury, and tuna fish, and the bluefin tuna, especially the big tuna, and marlin, and shark, and all these big fish, albacore. This all has arsenic and mercury in it, but you couldn't eat enough of it to get what I had. Every green paint out here, all old green paint had arsenic in it. Did you know that? All of these things that they painted with preservatives on it, that was green, that was arsenic. Copper sulfate is arsenic. You can get that. I was told, I'd learned a lot of stuff when I started doing this. I had built Maryland some garden, raised garden with railroad ties and telephone poles. They said, no, arsenic and mercury. Mm-hmm. No, no. It's full of poisons. You see that? Now that acute poisons threw me immediately into the process of dying. They got acute poisoning here, people, from this plant, from this tree. Acutely, they knew how great, and immediately, they knew how great God was. Immediately. It would have been a progressive revelation, but now it's acute and immediate, punctiliar, aorist in action. Okay? It's immediate. And that immediate knowledge of that terrified them. I remember, Brother Ray, you remember when I used to run all over these mountains up there and coon hunting and lion hunting and all kinds of stuff and getting wood and everything. And I always used to say, if there was a Bigfoot up there, I would have seen one. You remember when we used to say that a long time ago? Because I've been up there. If you go from Lake Isabella on the other side up there, all the way from that side of Lake Isabella up there where it is, I'm not talking about, you know, way up. To, what's that?
Johnsondale?
Well, Johnsondale. All the way from Johnsondale, all the way down to Rancheria Road, I have walked almost every mile of that on foot, and most of it at nighttime. And if you go all the way from here, over Breckenridge, and down to Isabella, I walked or driven almost every square foot of that. But when Jimmy and I were up there about 1985 or so, in Fish Lake Valley, and that Bigfoot walked down the road, and I watched this man I thought was stranded out there walk and walk and walk and walk. I thought somebody was stranded. They're coming to the headlights, and the road goes up like that and comes back down here, and they're cutting across this flat land out there, and it's bumpy and everything. So this guy was walking really fast. And I kept watching, and Jimmy was talking, and I just kept watching and watching this thing. Man, this guy is really something else. He's a big guy, too. Well, he's broke down. And so I just kept on going. I figured he's going to cut me off down there. And when I got down there where that was here, this guy walked across the road, except it wasn't the guy. It's something about 8 foot tall with short hair the color of a deer with alkali dust coming off his hair. And just walking right across that road with about 2 steps and just disappeared out there in the sagebrush. I was in shock. I was had acute revelation here, people. Acute revelation. And I was in terrified. And I tell you what, I wasn't afraid of anything in the woods. No bears, no lions, no nothing. We used to go tree a lion and shoot him with a .22 pistol through the lungs and just sit there and wait for him to fall out of the tree. And hope he didn't get excited and jump out so you'd have to fight him. One time I had a dog named Sooner. And he was a young pup. And we jumped this lion, this big lion, and this one we later killed. But I jumped this big lion with 11 foot long. That's almost as wide. How wide is this room here, brother? 15, 18 feet, 15 feet?
16 feet this
way. Huh? How?
16 feet this
okay.
Way.
That lion was almost as wide as this room with his tail and everything. Had paws, this big Maryland. Big paws like a draft horse. Leave him big tracks. I saw him a lot of times. But the dogs took him and we dumped out on him because he's getting ready to kill a calf. We saw him. We spotlighted him. He's ready to kill a calf. I'll take a calf down. We dumped the dogs out and jumped out, and the dogs run and treat him up on a mountain over there. Now, after you're going up Rancheria Road, you go down this hill. You go over these hills and dales like that, and you go out. And then you go over this hill, and you start coming down, and you look, a bunch of rocks are over here by Maven's house. It's over the mountain from there. On that pile of rocks right up there. I showed you where I treat him, Marilyn. That lion treed up there. Now, I had a Colt Lightning pistol, which maybe you remember. It was a chrome pistol, nickel-plated pistol, like Billy the Kid had. It had 38 long Colts, one big as 38 special, shorter than that. And I had some real light loads loaded in it because I was shooting coons and just hitting them, like punching them. and we'd knock them out, and we'd hold the dogs, and they'd go chase up another tree, and we'd run them up another tree, and we'd run them up a tree, and we'd run them up another tree, and train the dogs with these wild coons. Well, that's what I had with me that night, with a whole bunch of light loads, and I had this lion with a head that wide. I went right after him, just like Icamelio. Like my great-great-great-grandfather. Icamelio means no fear in Chickasaw. He didn't have good sense, enough sense to be afraid. My mother used to tell me that. You don't have any natural fear, you're dumb. Anyway, I went after that lion. I went over there, and I was climbing up this hill, and of course, there's switchbacks like this, and he's up here like this, and my dogs are just all over this lion, and you could hear him. Have you ever seen anybody swing a bat so hard you just hear it go, woof, woof, woof? That's what that sounded like up there with that lion's paws. Woof, woof, just like that. I could hear that. Boy, that's something. A bear does that too. They can cut a dog half in two, but those dogs were staying back, and no sooner was getting closer and closer to him. And I'm up here like this, and they went around, and here's this lion up on this hill, and the lion finally bails off right on top of me. It just about knocks me down. And about crushes my feet because he fell on my feet. Just kaboom, just like this, knocked me back. And took off. I felt the power of that great beast. Whoof! Whoof, we lost him that day. But I wasn't afraid in all of this. But when I saw this creature that I didn't believe existed at all, I was terrified. Acutely, acute knowledge. From that moment on, I believe in those things. But what are they? And I think they are the Nephilim in Genesis 6 chapter we're going to get to. I think that's what they are. The tree of knowing good. Acute knowledge of good. And then, wa-ara, wa-ara, wa-ara. Now, if you want to pronounce this with the Eastern or the Western pronunciation, it's Va. Western pronunciation is from the German standpoint because they can't say Wa, they say Va. Baptists in Germany were called Wiedertaufers. Actually, it's Wiedertaufers. But they don't say W, it's Wiedertaufers. So we have this here. Sephardic. And I can't think, Ashkenazi, Sephardic and Ashkenazi, they're opposite, different pronunciations. And wa-ara, and evil. Now here we got the other revelation immediately. What evil is. Immediately, what is evil? And they realized that we are evil. A person, before they can get saved, have to realize that they're evil. That they're lost. We do that. We come to the point in our life when we realize that we're lost and we need to be saved. That we need the redemption of Jesus Christ. And then we realize this. But these people were having what we call successive, gradual revelation of how great God was and how good he is and how wonderful the earth is. They would have had this knowledge. But it wasn't all there yet. But immediately they see how big God is and how great God is and how evil. And now they're part of evil. Now they're part of the snake's legacy.
Is that why they were ashamed? It wasn't so much the nakedness. It was the fact that they realized that they were evil.
The word naked there means evil.
Oh, really?
That's right. Naked. They became naked. The serpent became naked. What do you mean naked? I stand up here with this 100% wool suit with a white shirt on and lavender nook and tie and everything else, and I look like I'm almost okay. But if I took all my clothes up here, you would see I'm falling apart. You'd see all the scars of all the operations I had and everything, and I'm ugly. I'm ugly. But I painted myself up just a little bit. See? They became evil. They became naked. Nothing covered her sins. What were Adam and Eve covered with before they sinned? Do you remember? Remember? What? With what? Yes, before they sinned. What were they clothed? They were clothed. They were clothed with the glory of God. But now it's gone. And they have become evil, wicked, naked. This word ra there. That's wa-ra. Wa-ra. They have become naked and evil and wicked and liars and thieves and cheats. They have become that way. And they became that way instantly, acutely. Punctiliar action. Present, indicative, active. That's a tense. While consecutive, imperfect, and we have perfect tenses. Now, aorist tense, that's in Greek, okay. Aorist tense, first aorist, is punctiliar knife blade action, right there. Second aorist is like this, action. It's a little more directed, linear, but it is punctiliar. Now, the action that happened to them here was this type of action right there. Immediate and punctiliar and knife blade, razor blade sharp. Okay.
The moment their teeth...
The very moment their teeth... The very moment their hands touched it. And it didn't stop them from sticking it in their mouth. The very moment that they touched God's possession, they had become evil. And they just reveled in it. They reveled in it until they see the person of God, which they see in all His glory now. Just like people. I'm not sure people can't see all the way from hell into glory, maybe. And see how great God is and what they lost.
You think that would be part of their punishment?
I think it could be part of their punishment.
Yeah.
Terrible. I could have been there. I could have been there. Could have been there. Good and evil. Low. Low is a little adverb of negation there. Low. I want you to learn this just a little bit. Not to be smart, Alex, but to know that that's what it actually says. Okay? I want you to know that this is what it really says. This is what the book says. Not. Now, that's on the right-hand side of the page there. Not, you shall keep on eating. Not, you shall keep on eating from her. Because, ki, biyom, because in day, at in the instant, you're eating. It actually means to eat. There, that is what we call an infinitive construct. You're eating. You're to eat from her, from this tree. To be dying. Meo. To be dying. Meo. That's Cal infinitive. It means from her to die, to begin the process of dying. You don't die, poof, but you begin the process of dying.
Mm-hmm.
How long did Adam live, you know? Remember any of you? Over 900 years, didn't he? How long did he live that 900 years sinless? Doesn't tell us, does it? And from Mimenu, and from... You're eating from her, to eat from her, dying. You shall keep on dying. Second person, Master Singer, Cal Imperfect. Tamos. Tammuz. Tammuz, you shall keep on dying from that moment. That's the word meos.
Meos. Like that.
Meos.
Now, the Greek word for that is, Brother Ray, what is that word? Do you know that word?
Thanatos. Thanatos. Meos and thanatos are the same kind of death. Except in the Greek, we have a more explanation of it. Everybody dies like this. But only these are the twice dead. Only these are the ones that don't know Jesus Christ or will not have Jesus Christ before they die. And then they're thanatos. They're separated from God forever. That means separated from God forever. Thanatos, separated forever. See, last week we touched this thing just a little bit. We didn't get this far. There's some good stuff. There's secrets in here, isn't there? Did you learn something tonight from it? A little bit of secrets from Genesis? From the original languages? When you look at things slowly and carefully to be dying. So-and-so lived to be 969 years. Methuselah lived 969 years. Eumioth. And he died. Adam lived 900-something years, and we meos, and he died. It goes down, and Seth lived so many years, and you meos, and he died. Every one of these descendants were given the gift of death. The gift of death. Every one of them by their father. Not by the mother. By the father. Now let's go on to 18 now. 208 on page, second chapter, verse 18. Wayomer. And Hadar. Elohim. Lo Tov. Heoth. Hadam. Lavado. Ese. Lo. Ezer. Ki Negdo. And he said, Jehovah Elohim, not good. Not good. We have an adverb of negation here, or a particle of negation, however way you look at it. Not good to become the man to his separation alone. Alone. Separated alone. Man was alone. Man is a herd animal, believe it or not. Now, I'm a little weird because I could be one of them recluses. Real easy. I get tired of the human race real fast sometimes. I could go off and never stick my head back up for a while. 10 years, 15, 20 years. Wouldn't bother me at all. I've done it. Not good for man to be separated. To his separation alone. Now, what kind of animals are herd animals?
Horses.
Cows. Antelope. Bighorn sheep. Goats.
Dogs.
Now, if you take an animal. Now, this is an Indian trick. I'm telling you some Indian things here, okay? You take a shuka. A dog, shuka. You take a shuka. You got that there, little Jared? Can you say shuka? Shuka. You take a dog out by himself, and he may not like you at all. This dog may be really bad. But if you're stuck out there someplace and there's no other dogs out there, guess what? The dog's going to come to you. How many of you watched that movie with that wolf in it, named Socks.
Dancing Wolves.
Huh? Dancing with Wolves. You ever watch that movie?
Mm-hmm.
There's some truth in that. That's it's this history of a man that went out, and he was a hero in the Civil War, and they stuck him out in the plains where the Lakota were, out there in a fort that nobody was there. He's out there by himself. He cleaned the place all up just like he had a whole regiment of men out there, cleaned it all up and everything else, and this one wolf would come. Mm-hmm. And look at him. And this wolf was scared to death of him. Scared to death of him. But he had nobody else. So he kept going back. And he'd slip in there at night when he was in this sod house, and he'd slip in there in that porch and watch him. He'd go out and he'd start leaving things for him, a little piece of bacon or a little bone or something here and there. And he'd come up and he'd swallow, and he called him Socks because he had white feet. He'd come up there and he'd get closer to him, get closer to him, get closer to him. Up there in Fish Lake Valley, I watched wild animals a lot in my life. Up here in the mountains, I watched animals. I watched them. Do I not, Marilyn?
Yeah.
I can tell you what's going on by animals.
Absolutely.
I know what's going on by watching animals. Up there in Fish Lake Valley, and I showed this to Marilyn, out there, now, Brother Ray, do you happen to know how many times I've referred to Fish Lake Valley? Huh?
Before
and after.
I never heard of Fish Lake Valley until when I got back
to you. Well, I grew up there. You just didn't listen to me when I was there. You was listening about other things. You know who Mark Twain is? Samuel Clemens? You know what made him the great storyteller he was? Hannibal, Missouri. He'd have been nothing had he not been in Hannibal, Missouri. He was writing Huckleberry Finn. He'd already wrote Tom Sawyer and all that kind of stuff. But he was writing Huckleberry Finn, and he wrote this book for over 7 years. You know what he had to do to write the rest of the book? Had to go back to Hannibal, Missouri. And live his childhood again and wind down that road in the riverboat. Mm-hmm. And he finished Huckleberry Finn. One of the greatest books in the history of America. I've shown Marilyn this. That valley means a lot to me up there. You know what wild horses are. You know, have you ever seen a wild horse, Jared? A wild horse. You've got to come up there and see a real wild horse. A wild horse. Now, usually in a herd of wild horses, there is one stallion. Now, when Thomas was growing up, down in the south end of that valley, there was one stallion out there, and he was a great white horse, a big white stallion. And Thomas called him Silver, like Lone Ranger Silver. And he saw this white, and he goes, Dad, Dad, slow down there, Silver. And Silver had a bunch of mares with him. And up in the north end of the valley was a Arabian stallion. That cord had turned loose in there. He was solid black, and his mane almost drugged the ground, and his tail drugged the ground. He was beautiful, black, shining, and mean. Well, those stallions, when they have babies, when the mares have foals, if it's a stallion, a colt, instead of a filly, he will stay in that herd for a while, and they'll run him plumb off, won't they, Marilyn? That stallion will run that young stallion off, and he'll be an altar all by himself. And if you've got a farm out there someplace, and you see this lone stallion, this castaway stallion, he will come up and eat in your yard. And at first he'll run from you. But after a while, he'll come. He'll come because he wants, and you talk to him. First of all, your voice will scare him, and then later on, your voice will comfort him. And when you get up to one of these horses, this is an old Indian trick, too, see. My dad used to say, put the Indian sign on that horse, son. You Indian, you. You get up there with these wild horses, and wild horses, what do they do when they come near each other, Marilyn? What do they do?
What do they do?
What do horses do when they come near each other? No, what do? They blow their nose and breathe and smell of each other. You go up to a horse and you get right in his face, this wild horse, and he'll be snorting at you. And you just go and blow, and he'll smell you and tell you everything you've been eating for 2 days. And he'll get acquainted with your spirit. And you can start talking to him. You can start talking to them. And they'll prance out there, and they'll walk around back and forth and come up a little closer and a little closer and a little closer. with that tail in the air. You saw that the other day, didn't you, Marilyn? Mm-hmm. We went up there to a herd, and there was a herd of wild horses out there, and there's like 20 in this herd, and one stallion. There'll be a lone stallion over here, and a lone stallion over there, and a lone stallion over there, but the one stallion. Now, the stallion doesn't lead the herd away, does he, Marilyn? The stallion stands and fights, and he will challenge you. And that stallion got out there, and he went like this, snorting and going, prancing with his tail as high as he could get, making himself as tall as he could be. And then he'd go, whoop, like this, and just snort, and put his feet and paw the ground at you. You don't come near my herd. These are my girlfriends here.
All of them.
All of them. I don't share. Yeah. And then the oldest mare will be leading the other mares away. The old mare, the alpha mare, will be leading them away while a stallion is standing them off. Mm-hmm. I took my boys up there. They got to see Cord's stallion still, his Arabian stallion. They saw him challenge us. Robert saw him challenge us. I mean, they can bust up rocks with their feet, boy. I mean, they'll just come like and stand and just be pawing at you like this. And when you get one on a rope, you better have somebody with another rope keeping them off of you.
Yeah, all right. Wild horses here in where the windmills are at. Mm-hmm. There's wild horses all there, too.
And he said, Jehovah, Elohim. All right? Wyomer. And he said and kept on saying, Jehovah. And this is the word. I want you to know this word when you see it.
That's the word right there. That's the four consonants with O vowels. And it starts with what? Yah.
And that's where you have nothing but breath. Ha. Yah. And breath is life. Mm-hmm. Yah. Okay. And said Jehovah Elohim. So we know who it is, the covenant God. The covenant God, not good. Not Tov, not good, to become the man, to his separation. And it says here, first person construct singular, cal imperative. I shall keep on making for him a counterpart, an assistant, a counterpart. I'm going to make somebody that just fits together with him. Just fits together with him. Now, girls and girls don't fit together, and boys don't fit together, but girls and boys fit together. That's what it's talking about here. A counterpart. To be to be stationed in front of him, corresponding to him, to stand over and against him. Spiritual? Physical and sexual. That's what's in here. 219 now. 219. Wayitzer. Hathavar. Elohim. Min. Ha'adama. Kal. Chayat. Hasadeh. Wiet. Kal. Oph. Hash Shemayim. Y Yavi. El Ha'adam. Liroth. Mah. Yikra. Lo. We call. Asher. Yikra. Lo. Ha'adam. Nefesh. Chaya. Hu. Shimo. I didn't think you'd ever start reading Hebrew, did you? Are you getting some of it? Ray, you beginning to see words? Just a little bit? You're beginning to see them. All right. Now here is Wayitzu. And it's third person, masculine, singular, cal, wild, consecutive, imperfect. And he formed and kept on forming Jehovah Elohim. Now this is the Jehovah God is what? Jehovah means what? He who shall become. And it comes from this word here in Hebrew, right there, Hayah. And that means to become. To become. And he kept on forming Jehovah Elohim as, you can see this sometimes as from, but means here it means as from the same. As from the same, the ground. As from the same, the ground. So man is not made from ground, not made from dirt, but he's made from the same elements as the dirt. We have all of the atomic number of elements in us that the dirt does. The ground, ha'adama. Say ha'adama.
Ha'adama.
Call. Shayat.
Shayat.
I see a black shuka out there in the yard. You got a black shuka?
I do.
It's out there someplace.
Bird?
No, a dog.
Oh.
Yeah. Not a wombly. Yeah. Not a wombly, but a shuka. Call. The ground, that means from the ground, and the word ground and Adam come from the same root, which is this root right here. Say Dom. Adam. See there? Adama. Adama. On the back of it. Adama. We're from the same elements. Man is in the ground, in the dirt. And then it says, every chadayoth, every beast of the hasadei. Tell me about hasadei there, Sharon. Tell me about hasadei. Comes from sedei.
Sedei. It's like a moist, like a meadow, a moist.
That out there is a meadow right now. It's all metal because it's got lots of water in it. And Brother Ray, you got water running out of the seal out here, don't you?
Yes.
That's what we call a little stream or a spring coming down the mountain. That's Hasadah, the metal. And it is, everything lives out there, don't it? I've come up here and I see gophers and I see ground squirrels running around out there. And I see bunny rabbits.
Lots of
little cottontails.
Whales.
I saw a guy down here a while ago, or a girl out there, with a bow and arrow going to shoot one of them Hiawatha or something.
Shoot the gophers. Better.
Yeah, shoot the gophers. And the ground squirrels. Call Chayat, every beast, every living thing, of the prairie, of the field, of the wild plains. And we at, and the, and actually, and all womblies. Womblies, wing flappers. What are the wing flappers under the water?
Stingrays.
Stingrays, and bat rays, and manta rays. Okay? And we have wing flappers above the ground. The womblies, the oaf. Hashemayim. Hashemayim. This means what, Brother Ray? Hashemayim.
Uplifted waters.
Uplifted waters. That's the atmosphere above the earth. All of these wing flappers in the atmosphere. And by the way, everything in Hebrew is a wing flapper, whether it's a quail or eagle or a vulture or whatever it is, it's a wing flapper. It's an oaf. Wayavay. And he caused unto the man, unto the Ha'adam, to see the world. To see what? Ma is what? Mana. What did I say, Jared? Mana. Mana. That's Hebrew. Marilyn, what does mana mean? What does that mana mean? What?
Leave?
No. Are you trying to go to sleep on me? Mana. Mana. What's mana?
I don't know.
What's mana? What's mana?
What's that?
What is it? Mana, what is it?
What is it?
Yeah, mana is what is it. That's what they saw fall under bread come from heaven. They said, what is that? What is it? What is it? Mana. Mana. Okay. Mana, okay, mana. So here we have ma. What? He shall keep on calling to him and all which he might call and keep on calling to the man, the Adam. Now we have all these animals have nephesh. What's nephesh?
Spirit. spirit.
What's nephesh? What's nephesh?
In his spirit?
No. Nephesh.
So individual
mind. Nephesh, Brother Ray. Nephesh. What's nephesh?
I've heard the word many times.
Okay. The Greek word is psyche.
Psyche?
That's soul. Every animal is going to have a soul. Every animal, every individual alive, every animal has a soul. Here you have souls in these animals. Secrets from Genesis, brother. Every soul. Living. Chaya. Living. That's living life. Chaya. Zoe is the Greek word for that also. Zoe, before you get a word, zoo. Living things in a museum. Living museums. His name. Now, man is going to write a big book here. He's going to write down the name of all of these things. And how much did he see? How much did he see? How powerful was his eyes up close? How powerful were his eyes up close? How powerful they were in a telescopic way? What could he see? Did you know? What?
Probably the moon pretty clear.
He could see the moon pretty clear. And you know what these guys, from Adam on down, we see Enoch. We see them seeing those planets and galaxies out there.
Right.
And we see how they're formed. If you don't believe it, read the book of Enoch. He'll tell you all about the constellations. All about it. He'll tell you all about that. They were seeing a lot better. I have got, my daughter and my son-in-law say I have supersonic hearing, except I have 80% hearing loss. They must have worse. That's all I got to say. Tonight is not very good at all, but I can hear things. I feel things with my body because I'm a savage, you know. Now, all these half-animal Indians. You learn to do that out there in nature. You learn to do this. But you hear. You feel, you taste, you smell, all of these things. How much have we covered up all of our abilities since Adam? He communicated with all animals. A savage is still communicated with the animals. Marilyn has talked about many times. She was talking about somebody today that, oh, my mother, she was telling him how that I could train anything. A fish, a duck, no matter what. I even trained the blackbird, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
I trained a blackbird one time.
Even me.
Huh?
Even me.
Yeah, I'm still working on that. I don't think that's an accomplished product yet. It's getting better. There's people that had flea circuses. They trained fleas. Did you know that? People train fleas. I haven't tried to do that because I wasn't interested in it. That's all. I used to cut flies' heads off with a pocket knife. You've seen me do that.
Yeah, right in their restaurant.
Yep.
Oh, great.
Well, I'll teach them that flies run around in there, the uncouth thing. Land on my plate, I pull out my pocket knife and go thump, and his head falls off and his body goes.
I'm going to my school.
Do all kinds of weird things. I never tried to train hornets and wasps at all. Wasn't interested in that either, nor ants or anything like that. But I've trained fish. You remember the fish I used to have named Spot? How about the fish I used to have I called Oscar? I had them trained. When I walked in the house, they went nuts.
Did you have a turtle?
Yes, I had a turtle named Herbie. And one called something else. Can't remember that turtle's name. And I could go out there and whistle. I could walk in the house and say, "Hi, Spot!" And my fish would stick his head that far out of the water looking up at me. They're swimming all over the place, just crazy, like, boy, I'm daddy's home. You know, I'm going to get something to eat, you know. When I go up there in that trout stream, Maryland, I got those fish trained.
Yeah, you do.
Throw something out there, boy, they just start.
Working on it.
I'm working on it. Trained a lot of wild horses. They have souls. Individuals of life, they think. In the soul, you think. Mm-hmm. In the spirit, you're alive. Mm-hmm. And in the body, you feel and all of the stuff. Mm-hmm. You have body, soul, and spirit. And animals are like that too. And I am not saying animals are eternal beings. They could be, but I don't know. Maybe you'll get to see your pets in heaven. I don't know. I don't know. But I know they have souls. That I do know. Whether it's an eternal soul or not. Verse number 20, and we'll finish here. Vayikra ha'adam shimoth. Likal ha'behimah. Yulioth ha'shamayim. Yuliko chayoth ha'sida. Yuli adam lo matza ezer ke negdo. And he called and kept on calling the man, the Adam, the human being. Now he's a human being here. This is that word anthropos in Greek, anthropos. He's a mankind. Matter of fact, Adam right here is all the humanity, all the humankind, all the human race there is. All in him. Your life is there in him. And the man, Shemoth, names. Likal, and that means li, that's a preposition, 515, and call is all, 486. If you don't have it written down or write it down, I don't have it written down there either. Ha bihimah. And the four-legged beast, Yulioth, and two birds, and Yulioth, and two birds. Conjunction, you, le, preposition, wolf, birds, wing flappers. Of the heavens, Hashemayim, you le call, and to all, you, and le, preposition to all. You getting it, Brother Ray? I hope. If I say this enough, maybe you will. Chayoth. Chayoth means living things. Wild living things. Of the prairie, of the wild field, of the Hasida, that is the pasture lands, the moorish prairie, and to Adam, and for Adam, or to Adam, it's you li dam, and you li preposition dam, Adam. Not, abbreviation, not, matzah. Matzah. Matzah means found. Matzah. Found a ezer. Ezer. That's a helper. Ki nigdo. Corresponding, suitable to him in every way. Spiritually, physically, sexually. Not corresponding to him. All right, do you have any questions? Did you learn something tonight? How much did you learn from? We went from 217 to what? 221. If you don't have one of these here Hebrew books, we're going to get you one. Because you need to look at this. Because then you'll know that I'm not lying to you. That you know it's not a figment of my imagination. It's actually there. Okay? Are you learning that a little bit, Brother Ray? Are you learning just a little bit out of this? Are you beginning to pick it up and be able to see it there? It's there.
Some of those secrets, Brenda.
The secrets.
Some of that's going to be in my class tomorrow morning.
All right. That'll probably blow their minds. I hope you learned something today. If you're out there in hearing of this, listening to this class out there someplace, I hope you learned something. I hope you learn one thing, that how great God is and how little we are. How great God is and how sinful we are. And that how we need to come to Him and ask Him to save our souls when we come to that knowledge. And that He will do it because He's provided for every man. Every man. Remember in this class I said, maybe those people over there, one of the torments of hell is that they're looking and realizing they don't have to be there. I don't believe, and I'm not a what we call a supralapsarian. I'm not an antilapsarian. I'm not even an infralapsarian, where we say that God decreed to save some and elect the other. I mean, to save and elect some and to damn the others. We're all, we have a price paid for us already. It's done. You don't go to hell because of sin. You go to hell because of rejecting Jesus Christ. If you go to hell, it's because you did not accept Christ. If you're atheist or whatever you are, agnostic, whatever, you won't go to hell because you're an atheist. You won't go to hell because you're an agnostic. You'll go to hell because you didn't accept Christ as your Savior. That's why you'll go to hell. Brother, what song do we have tonight? What invitation? I'm going to give you an invitation tonight. If you're out there at this moment, give your life to Christ. Surrender your life to serve Him. Whatever you in your life you need, you can do that. He will be there for you.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?